Right on they did into Jerusalem this week. The beast went into Jerusalem this week. You heard about that? President Obama made his first overseas trip in his second term to Jerusalem. And when he went into Jerusalem, he rode the beast. A Cadillac limo, 9 tons, 8-inch armor-plated body, bulletproof windows, seal-proof windows against any kind of biochemical attacks, a night vision system in the around the car. He was protected. He was safe. He rode on in glory. We just found out about it because on the way to the airport to pick him up, the car stopped and they couldn't get it ignited again. Someone apparently put some unleaded gas instead of diesel, didn't they? Like the POTUS, Jesus also had his friends look out for a beast of burden, a little donkey, to carry him into Jerusalem. And like the president's entourage, Jesus had a plan. You might say Operation Zechariah, because we read from Zechariah 9, "Shout in triumph, O people of Jerusalem, look, your king is coming to you. He is righteous and victorious, yet he is humble, riding on a donkey, riding on a donkey's colt." Daylin talked about parades and how we love that. And Jerusalem knew all about parades, military parades, that is. They knew about the Roman Empire, how the legions would have their 100 soldiers on the horses leading in with their banners. They would have 6,000 men with the long javelins and their short daggers and the huge shields ready for anything. In fact, some scholars like Borg and Crossan suggest that on the day Jesus rode into Jerusalem, Pilate, Pontius Pilate, the prefect of Israel at that time, probably had another parade coming in from the west where he was at Caesarea, bringing in his army just to make sure that the pilgrims who were entering Jerusalem had no funny ideas about revolting against Rome. But Jesus comes into Jerusalem riding a simple donkey, almost the exact opposite of Pilate's parade. Verse 10 in Zechariah says, "I will remove the battle chariots from Israel and the war horses from Jerusalem. I will destroy all the weapons used in battle, and your king will bring peace to the nations. His realm will stretch from sea to sea and from the Euphrates River to the ends of the earth." Two beasts in Jerusalem. But how clearly they showed what different kingdoms they belong to, what kinds of power they would dispense, and what kind of glory they were seeking. When Abraham Lincoln was elected president in the fall of 1860, he was to be inaugurated in the spring of 1861. But many southern states had threatened that if he was elected, they would secede from the Union, and they did. Many others in the South said loudly in newspapers, secretly in conspiracies, that Abraham Lincoln would never set his foot in the White House if they had their way. Many threatened to assassinate him, and many bands were formed to do that. So the week before the inauguration, Lincoln had to slip into the railroad station in Baltimore, one day ahead of the time when his family would be getting on the train in Chicago. He slipped into the Baltimore station completely disguised as a country farmer. He also had three other friends with him, one man called Mr. Pinkerton with a gun in his pocket. Two others were his secretaries. Lincoln had to disguise himself for self-protection, obviously, but he would later have to use his power to start a war that would stay the Union, as he said it. It would be the greatest bloodshed in American history. And he ultimately succeeded in keeping the Union together at any cost, as he said, even giving up his own life. So his entry into Washington as a country bumpkin was only a disguise, because he knew his kingdom, his power, and his glory. What about Jesus? Are these palms and the donkey he's on, is that also a disguise? After all of us know that Jesus is God's son, that he is the commander of the armies of angels, legions of them. However, the message of Palm Sunday is that there was no disguise on Palm Sunday. Jesus, riding on that donkey, is who he claimed to be. The disciples couldn't understand that at first. Even after the resurrection, his disciples just couldn't understand what had happened to Jesus. Apostle Paul in Philippians 2, though, gives us an explanation of who this man is riding on that donkey. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, being born in human likeness. And being found in human form, he humbled himself, became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. To have the same mind as Christ is to die to the self, the many demons of egoism, isn't it? It is to live to serve others. See, becoming a servant was not beneath Jesus. He said that was his mission, to show the face of God. So how can it be beneath us to become like him, a servant? Because Jesus knew to which kingdom he belonged. Because Jesus knew what power he had, and because Jesus knew the glory that awaited him even after his death. So on this day, we also can affirm that we believe in God's kingdom, that we live by a different kind of a power on this earth, and that we are looking for a different kind of glory, the glory that shines in each one of us because we are God's children. We come to the last phrase of the Lord's Prayer, "For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." Actually, Jesus didn't pray that. This is something that we added, the church added. But by the end of the first century, all Christians were praying something like the prayer that we pray today, the Lord's Prayer. Actually, these words are very similar to something found in the Old Testament. 1 Chronicles 29, "Yours, O Lord, are the greatness, the power, the glory, the victory, and the majesty. For all that is in heavens and on the earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head of all." So the Lord's Prayer ends by affirming that the kingdom, the power, and the glory all belong to God and God alone. And this is nothing different than what we had prayed already in the Lord's Prayer, isn't it? We prayed, "Hallowed be thy name, so yours is the glory." We prayed, "Thy kingdom come," so we can say, "Yours is the kingdom, your will be done." So we can affirm, "Yours is the power. Yours is the kingdom, yours is the power, yours is the glory. Jesus rode his donkey into Jerusalem, a place under siege by Rome, oppressed, overtaxed, and always punished for anything that they would try to change. When we pray the Lord's Prayer, we are praying a prayer of faith. Because when you look around, how many of us can say that this is God's kingdom, that God's power is seen around us, or that we see the glory of the people of God on this earth? When we pray the Lord's Prayer, we're not saying everything's okay with the world and with us. Therefore, we will praise God. Therefore, we will confess our faith. No, when we pray the Lord's Prayer, we are following the footsteps of saints and pilgrims and even Jesus. We're praying, Lord, the world we experience is awfully messed up. Lord, the mystery of evil is hard to comprehend. And God, people are acting like they have hearts of stone. Nevertheless, we will pray. Yours is the kingdom. Yours is the power. Yours is the glory. So let's go back to these two beasts in Jerusalem. The question is, why did Jesus ride a lowly donkey and not a horse, a war horse like Napoleon's Marengo or Alexander the Great's Bucephalus or even General George Washington's Roger Leo at Valley Forge? Why a simple donkey? What is it about a humble, ordinary donkey that drew Jesus to it and had him tell his disciples to look for it? Why is it that Jesus only needs a donkey and not a war horse? Actually, if you think about it, isn't a donkey a good symbol for all of us? Because don't we feel like that sometime? Not like a mighty horse, but ordinary, common, stubborn, hardworking, always having to carry things, burdened. Wasn't it the donkeys Jesus was calling when he said, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble, and the burden I give you is light. You will find rest for your souls." I will say that those words describe a whole lot of us. A lot of us who don't always feel good about ourselves or our situation in life at this time. We feel like we don't have much to offer or have any energy to carry anything for anyone. But what did Jesus come to Jerusalem to show? The kingdom, the power, and the glory, we say. Palm Sunday and Holy Week just recaptures the message that Jesus has been preaching throughout his ministry: to love God and love ourselves, to love our neighbors as ourselves. Committed to treating everyone equally, without exception, no matter who they are, where they come from, what their status is, or their background. That was the message that Jesus is giving to us by riding on that donkey. A Jewish congregation was intrigued because on every week, on the eve of Sabbath, they would see the rabbi disappear. They suspected that he must have been going to a special place to pray to God. So one day they appointed their own secret spy to spy on the rabbi. And this is what the man saw. The rabbi disguised himself in peasant clothes and served a paralyzed Gentile woman in her cottage. He cleaned her room, prepared a Sabbath meal for her, and came back. When the spy got back, the congregation asked, "Well, where did the rabbi go? Did he ascend to heaven?" "No," the man replied. "He went even higher." Unlike the rabbi who looked beyond this poor Gentile woman's physical illness, economic status, social status, in real life, so many of us are tied to other people's identities by what we see. And we don't see their inner glory, this glory that we all share, our calling to become solid human beings, to become children of God together, to become keepers of our brothers and sisters. Jesus calls us to let the light of God in us shine always and constantly. Then we can pray, "Hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Last night I had a dream. I had two pictures that kind of came into my mind. I saw the beast in Jerusalem, and then I saw President Obama on a donkey in Jerusalem. Can you imagine that? What would that say in our world? Of course, he'd probably be shot to death. It might say something different about the kingdom that we live in, the power that we hold on to, and the glory that we are seeking. And then I had another image that came to me, and I saw our church filled with donkeys. Can you imagine that? Some of us are big, some of us are small, but each of us carrying the Christ, the message of love, the message of kindness to the people who need us. It might be the rabbi in this story going to someone totally different. It might be to our families, it might be to our neighbor, but whatever it is, that it is Christ who is still in need of a lowly donkey to help carry the load of the weary and the heavy laden. Of course, Christ comes as the donkey on Holy Week, carrying the burdens of our sins, carrying the burdens of the world on himself, and taking it to the cross. He looks for his friends here, servant disciples, to bear his love into the world. Will the Lord find such disciples here at Campbell? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, King of the donkeys, now we understand why you had to enter Jerusalem on such a lowly beast of burden and not a war horse. To the end, you are teaching us, your slow learning disciples, what it means to belong to your kingdom, how we are to be powerful in service, and how we can let the glory of your love shine through us. Thank you for choosing us, whom you have made important and worthy to bear you in the world. Help us, Lord, to always bear you up in the world so they might see you. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. Amen.